Give the Lord a shout of praise in this house. You know what today is? Today is the greatest season of your life, beyond the shadow of any doubt. Father, we give you praise. In this very moment of time, we seize this opportunity. We seize the moment to glorify you, Father, to hear from your kingdom. But we're here also to move the heavens. Your assignment today, your assignment is to move the heavens. Your assignment is to move the heavens. You can go ahead and take your seats this morning. Your assignment is not to see how you can move the earth or what you can do in the earth, but to move the heavens. That's your assignment. Jesus said it like this. He said, seek those things that are above. Look beyond where you are, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And then he said, you are seated with him in heavenly places. Seated with God means a lot. The Word teaches us, and here at PFC, everyone is very acquainted with the Word, that we are free from all the powers of sin and Satan, right? We are free. How many believe that with me? That overcoming the devil is not the target. How many believe that? How many get that? Our focus is to be on God. How many understand in the house, those that are viewing, and if you don't, I pray by the Spirit of God you have an understanding today like you never have had before. The Word says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It says he came to destroy he that have the power of death. That is the devil. The Word says that he dismantled, evaporated, and destroyed all the powers of sin, of Satan, and of darkness. Is that right? So if the devil is destroyed in the sense of any authority, any of his power, Jesus said, the prince of the world, the devil, the Satan, he has been cast out. How many believe that? That's what Jesus said. He said, he has been cast out. It's finished. It's over. It's done. Scriptures teach us that on the cross, Jesus had a triumphant victory. And that he overcame and he conquered all. When the disciples came to Jesus, and I'm laying a foundation for a very, very important reason. Jesus taught us in essence that he's given us all authority and all power. And on the cross, the Word says that he dismantled and made an open display and spoiled all principalities of every kind. Triumphantly reigned over all authority. That should be great news to a believer to know you don't have to look over your shoulder and wonder if the devil's at your back door or if when you do good that evil's going to pursue you. David said, the Lord's my shepherd, I don't want for anything. The Word says we should not want for any good thing. And want really isn't a matter of insufficiency or incapability. Want is a result of resisting surrender. When we surrender to the power of God, then all that authority and all that power is there to provide and to do exceeding abundant and beyond what you need or ask. Why? Well, so God can show you that you can't even desire deeply enough without knowing him and he revealing what you really need and what you're really about. In essence, we worship God and we worship God alone. And the Word says, when a person is tempted, let not that person say, I am tempted of God. Because God cannot be tempted with evil. And so he doesn't tempt any man. What does that say to us? It says, whoever God is, that's who he reveals himself to be. Whoever God is, that's what he does. He does as he is. And then the Word says, as he is, so are we in this world. So God doesn't do bad. God doesn't harm you. religion would teach you the devil does. But we know that's not true. Because the word says no weapon formed against you would prosper. And the word says the evil one does not touch you. He touches you not. And again, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I don't fear any evil, because it just doesn't matter. Why? Because God's with me. That's how he conquered. That's how he overcame. So then the question is, if the devil doesn't do it and he's defeated, and God certainly wouldn't because he's holy and righteous, where does what seems to be evil come from? Where is this war then? Why? What is the issue? Where is the battle? If we knew what to contend with or against, wouldn't it make sense that we'd be far more ahead? If we really understood why we are here and what our call and our election is, which we're told to do, find out what your calling and your election is, that we'd be far more effective in this world. Number one, we'd be far happier. And remember, happiness and peace doesn't come on you. It comes out of you. So if you're waiting for it to rain on you, it'll never happen. But if you're waiting for it to rain through you, as the word says, out of our bellies flows rivers of life-giving water, then we're anticipating correctly. We're waiting for the right thing, and we're waiting for it in the right place. And that's that it would come out of us. So then Jesus said this. He said, when he was here, he said, it's important for you. One version says, it's expedient for you that I go. He said, because I need you to do what you've seen me do, but I need you to do beyond what you've seen me do. So again, the devil can't hurt you. And God certainly wouldn't. God is love, and love works no ill. So then where does the contending come from? And why? And why are we here? Misunderstanding, or let's go as far as to say ignorance, would tell you that it's just that we live in an imperfect world. And then we would beg to ask, what is a perfect world? What would a perfect world be? What would a perfect world be? I mean, if everyone is good, and how are they good? Nothing bad ever happens. And what is bad? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I came from the Father. But I'm in a body just like you. But I came into this body because God loved the world. Why did Jesus come? Because we sinned. No. It says he came because he loved the world. He came to deliver us from sin, but he came because he saw purpose in the world. He loved the world. He loved the world. Or this ball that we rest our feet on, build our homes on, drive our cars in, eat our meals, go to sleep and wake up in, this earth. Humus, dirt. And God is a God of power, transformation. So in God, nothing is ever as it seems until you see it through the faith of God in Jesus Christ. So we looked at the earth, and God said, I'm creating a man and a woman. How am I doing that? I'm taking them out of the dirt. I'm going to change the earth into a form that will worship me. And the word says God took the dust of the earth, and he formed man, and he said, but this man that we're forming will be in the image and in the likeness of me. So God looked at the earth. He took a handful of dust out of the earth, and he shaped man. And then the word says he breathed into the man the ruach, or the breath of life. And man, earth, became a living soul. And this soul carried the image and the likeness of God. And then the word says that God spoke to the man and to the woman, and he said, I want you to take dominion over the earth. I want you to subdue it, and I want you to take dominion over it. Now the word subdue carries the notion and the understanding literally to wrestle or contend, to bring it into order. Dominion means make it perfect. It means to put the power, put its, take your power and make it surrender its power to you. Put it under your power. So here God says, I love the world, and he creates this world. And he says, I'm taking man out of the dust. I'm making him in my image. And before anything happens, Jesus is prepared to redeem them. See, the great thing about this planet in comparison to the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven is seemingly perfect, but so is the earth. What is a perfect earth? A perfect earth is the earth that can please God. And the scriptures tell us only by faith can God really be pleased. And then it says no eye, meaning no eye in heaven, no eye. It didn't say not any man's eye. It makes it very clear here. No eye has seen all the things that God has prepared. No eye. And then it addresses man. Neither has it entered into man's heart the things God has prepared. But he is revealing them to man, earth, through faith, because the perfect world in which we do live is the world that requires faith. Now, Jesus took dominion over death, hell, and the grave, not you nor I. Jesus, not you nor I, defeated the devil. He did that already. It is finished. When the disciples came, they were excited because they said, demons are subject to us. We can speak a word and they leave people. People that were possessed are free. And Jesus said, I don't want you to focus on this. As a matter of fact, don't rejoice. Don't be excited about that. Because if you do, down the road, churches are going to come up and they're going to get more excited about the power they have over the devil, talk more about him than they do me. That's not the issue. Jesus said, you have to understand something. He doesn't have any power. He said, I've already seen him fall like lightning. Before you ever cast him out, he fell like lightning, okay? He has been disempowered. He's been cast out. So what did Jesus do on the cross then if the devil fell from power instead of into power? What did he do? How did he conquer him on the cross? By purging your conscience. See, the only power that devil has over anyone is the guilt you carry. Jesus said, the old law made you even more conscious of your sin. It couldn't complete, it couldn't perfect you because then you were doing it. But it was a sign to reveal the nature of God and what you should do. Love the Lord your God and worship only him. And do it with all your heart. Worship God, love him, worship him, only God. Only God. So the power on the cross, what it actually did was it didn't go and grab the devil and strip him of his biceps, triceps, quad. It didn't do that. It didn't rip his pecs out. You know, it just didn't do that. What it did, because he already fell from power, Jesus made that clear. What it did, the word says, is it freed you from a guilty conscience. It made you free in your heart and your mind so you no longer felt condemned. So he couldn't lie about you. He couldn't lie to you. He couldn't make you feel that you were less than you really were created to be. And that was the only power he had, was to subject you to guilt. He's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. He tries to accuse you, and if you believe him, then he has power. If you don't, he doesn't. End of story. And what Jesus did was he freed our conscience. In the beginning, God made a tree called the tree of life. It was a gift from God in the garden, in the earth. And God said, eat of this tree. When you eat of this tree, you'll live, and you'll live forever. And he said, and there's a tree in the garden. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. He said, don't eat that tree. Why? Because I said so. And God said the tree was good. Everything God made when he finished, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the tree had some evil in it, right? Knowledge of good and evil. No. Jesus made it very clear. He said a tree can't be good and evil. He says either it's good or it's evil. Just like water can't be sweet or bitter. It's either one or the other. He said a tree can't bear forth thorns and fruit. It either bears fruit or good fruit, or it bears bad fruit. The tree of knowledge did not have bad fruit in it, because it was a tree of good, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good. Knowledge of, not fruit of good, knowledge of good and evil. What was the good? The good is that I obey God and I don't touch it. It looks great. It looks delicious. It looks good. And the serpent, the creature which the Lord God made and blessed, was the wisest creature God made. And it said to Eve, and I also know why it said it, but I'm not going to talk about that today because it doesn't matter. It said, if you eat of this tree, you won't die, because God said when you eat of that tree, you'll die. Why? Because you'll have the knowledge. The thing that will destroy you is a guilty conscience. What is that? Knowing you disobeyed me. You disobeyed life. And the moment you do, you die. Again, Adam and Eve didn't feel naked or feel ashamed. Adam and Eve didn't feel ashamed because they were naked, because they had been naked the entire time. So that wasn't the issue. They felt naked because they had become ashamed. And they became ashamed because they doubted God. Now that's the word in some sort of chronological order. That's the word. So then what is it? What is it? What is it? The tree, everything is meant for purpose. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of evil fruit and good fruit, the knowledge of evil. The good knowledge of the tree was the day when you don't touch it. Every time you obey me, you walk past it and say, it looks beautiful, it looks delicious, but God said, don't touch it. That's good, because you're obeying God. You're resisting the tree, or you're taking dominion and you're subduing it. You're letting it be empowering to you because you're using it for its intended purpose. That is to make you obey me by resisting, thus subdue, or dominion. You're taking dominion because you're resisting it. You're not surrendering to it. You're saying no. It looks good, but you're saying no. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, and the devil. But he told you and I to conquer the earth. And God made us, and he said, let them have, you have dominion. I'll take care of everything else, but the earth I give to you. I want you to subdue the earth. So what do we fight against? The earth. Where does this sense of evil come from? It doesn't come from the devil. He's just compliant to it because he's a thief and a liar. It doesn't matter what he does because he's a thief and a liar. So where does the battle come from? The earth. Why? Because you didn't subdue it. Who fights you? The devil. No, it can't. Unless you have a consciousness of guilt. Jesus said, except one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Which means no one can see the kingdom, the fullness of the kingdom of God, unless they are born again. In order to be born again, you had to be in an earth that required the only thing that would please God, which is faith. Faith pleases him. Faith teaches heaven. Because heaven doesn't see by faith, because it has the perfect world. But even the perfect world cannot reveal the kingdom of God. Only being born through Christ can reveal the kingdom of God. Ergo, the necessity for the earth. When we manifest our faith, the unseen, we become a representative to the host of heaven as well as earth as to what invisible looks like. The angels get to watch through you manifest what invisible means. In other words, you can't see it Certain aspects of God they can't see either, because Jesus said only they that are born again can see the kingdom of God. And in order to do that, you have to do something. You have to overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. He that is born of God, didn't say conquers the devil. He that is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. Yeah. I'm here to overcome the world. Devil's not my duty. That's God's. Sin is not my duty. That's God's. Darkness, not my duty. That's God's. Our call is to conquer the earth. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Adam's call was to do what God said in the beginning. Subdue the earth. You'll struggle. You'll wrestle with it a little bit. Submit. Make it submit to you. Make the serpent submit. What they were supposed to say to the serpent is, God has said, even though Eve was on the right track in the beginning, like a lot of church folks are, but then she got to thinking, maybe there's something I don't have in Christ that I need to do on my own. But the reality is there isn't anything you can do of real purpose that isn't of the nature of God. It doesn't exist. Or else you think you're God and you're sorely mistaken. For a moment, Eve took on the mindset that I have the ability to resource something outside of God and become even better than I am, to have more knowledge than I do. So she listened to the serpent. And the moment she did, her consciousness knew that she had disobeyed her design, her purpose, her intention, that she had disobeyed God and believed another source that was not God. Thus, condemnation, the killer of mankind. When Jesus comes, he's not going to destroy the devil. He's not going to overcome the devil. He's overcome. He gets thrown in a hole somewhere. But when Jesus comes, what he's doing is conquering death. And what is that? The earth swallowing you up. When you die, you fall back into the earth and you become what you were, dust to dust. But Jesus said, I'm giving you a power, and you need to understand this. And the nations of the earth need to hear this today, because our assignment is not to fight against one another. It's not to fight against the world. It's not to fight against the world of politics. It's to become the light of the world. We need to own these facilities and these places of communication. We need to stand up. We need to subdue, as Adam was told, subdue. Take authority over the serpent. Satan's already fallen. He's already been cast out. He's fallen from power. It doesn't matter what he says. Number one, you shouldn't be hearing him anyway, because the Word of God says, he that is born of God, we hear the Word of God, the voice of God. His sheep know his voice, and they don't follow any strangers. So why would you say he misled you? He hasn't the power to do so. You may doubt God and follow in his footsteps, but he can't do anything to you. Isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't the truth really amazing to know? Whom the Son has made free is actually totally, completely free, and free indeed. Take dominion over the earth. Subdue it. Take dominion. Subjugate. Make it obey you. Bring it under your authority, your power. Because I have given you authority in the earth. But the earth is a very powerful place. God made the earth powerful, and he did it on purpose. Because it would take power, and it takes power to live in the earth. The earth is not imperfect. The earth couldn't be more perfect. It's perfectly designed to help you overcome your frustration, your hatred, your anger, your desire to kill, to destroy, to defeat, to be jealous and envious and bitter. It's a perfect place to see the character of God developed in you. The earth is perfect. God said so in the Genesis of time. He made it all and he said, it's very good. And he said, now Adam, I need you to bring it into order. I'm giving it to you. So God called the animals. The word says God called the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. Now, Adam didn't think up the name. No one taught him how to name animals. He had never had any schooling in animal identification. But God said, I want you to know what power looks like. Heaven, I want you to watch this. This is what invisible means, because the angels don't know invisible. Everything that is visible to them. But no one knows the fullness of God save the Holy Spirit, save Christ in you. Only he, Jesus said, I'm the only one that really knows the Father. Only me. Only me. And the sons of God, the angelic host, the host of heaven, is going to learn from you. So they watch over you. They protect you. They care about you because they love the Father. And God made you. So stop condemning you. You are not your own, the word says. And if you're having problem overcoming the world, the word says everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. Everyone. So just get born again. Now there's a difference, however, in detection and perception. I reach down and I detect that this glass is in my hand, but if I keep talking to you, I can forget that it's there. I've detected it's there, but I may not perceive that it's there, so I may forget to drink it. Just like you may have had your keys and your phone in your hand at the same time. Perceptual perspective after a moment takes over, and it's just like if a fly lands on your hand, you feel it at first and then it kind of goes away. You walk into a restaurant, you can smell the garlic very, very heavy. After a minute, you can't smell it. Everything kind of dials down, normalizes as it were. In other words, you forget about it. You carry your phone and your keys in your hand. You ever done this? And you're looking for your keys. You've detected them, or you wouldn't be holding on to them, but you're not perceiving them because you can't find them. That's God. We detect. I believe in God. Well, so did devils and demons. They believe in God too. Only a fool doesn't believe in God, the scriptures say. Only a fool can look up and say there is no God. And for a moment, I actually forgot I had the water in my hand. I detected it, but I didn't perceive it. Where are my keys? Where are my keys? And someone that is not only detecting that they're in your hand, but perceives what you're looking for is in your hand, says, you mean the ones in your hand? How many have ever been there? And what do you do? Oh, my God. How does that happen? Same thing with God. We detect him, but we don't perceive him. And the reason we don't perceive him is because we believe a lie. And we assume, because it's a lie, and it may impress you, that it has power. No, you have power. It's like light. I mean, we see light. The word says, when we see your light, we see light. Of course, they say you can't actually see light. You perceive light. And what is real? What we see because of the light, or the light itself? Light is the power of perception. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I'm making you the light. I need you to perceive who I am. That's why it's really important. You hear me talk a lot about not giving the devil any praise, because in my opinion, praising and worshiping the devil, which is oftentimes done in houses of the Lord, without realizing what's being done, is one of the most detrimental things we can do in the church, because we acknowledge there's a power outside of God. And the scriptures say there is no power but of God. And those powers which be are ordained of God. We read about rulers and authorities and principalities, and we don't read on where it says casting down those. Which are they? The thoughts in your mind that exalt anything against the knowledge of God. It's what Eve did with the serpent in the tree. She acknowledged that against the knowledge and the word of God. She detected what God said, but she didn't perceive what he said was really true and really going to happen, or she would never have done it. We need revelation. God's bringing revelation back into the earth again. Adam had dominion when he named the animals because he had revelation. He heard the voice of God tell him what an elephant was. He didn't come up, as an elephant. That sounds like a good weird word. Let's just call it. No, the word says whatever he named it, that was the name thereof. In other words, he heard the heart of God. He discerned. He perceived by the Spirit of God. That's an elephant. God says it is. That's a lie, and that is. But Adam, I need you because you have dominion in the earth. I need you to name them because I said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And in the image of God made he them, both male and female made he them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish and fill the whole earth and subdue it. Contend with it. It's okay. Have dominion, subjugate it, bring it into perfection, put it under your power. So then the earth is evil. No, the earth is blessed, the earth is good, but you experience the evil just like Adam and Eve did the tree. The tree was not evil, but if you disobeyed God in regards to it, you knew what evil was. And what is evil? Rejecting God. Plain God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, he said. Nor make unto yourself any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or the earth beneath. Do not bow down to it. Do not surrender to it. I am the Lord God, and I alone am God, and there is no other. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God is one Lord, one God, and there is no other God. We worship him. The contending isn't with demons and devils and evil people. It's the earth, the heart of man. And when we walk in authority to God, when we've surrendered, you are the only way, you're the only truth, you're the only life, you're the only power. I seek first the kingdom of God, and you empower me in the earth just like you did from the beginning. That's why Jesus was called the last Adam or the second Adam. He was a quickened spirit as we are. You're not only human. That's a fallacy. It's untrue. You're more spirit than you are human. The word says, they that are born of spirit, our spirit. We walk in a body, but there's more spirit to you. You really can't die. Jesus couldn't die. He had to take death to the grave. That's what we experience. And that's why he said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. No man can kill me. No man takes it from me. That's the power he's given you. Someday you'll fall asleep. They'll put you in a box. They'll put you in a hole. And they'll say, you died. Jesus said, no, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what happened to you. You did what God did with Adam when he pulled him out of the dust. You transformed. So where does evil come from? Evil comes from a conscience that disobeys God, that rejects God, that resists God, that is not submitted to God. I put before you, it's far easier to serve God than it is to serve yourself. Jesus said, when you seek the kingdom, he said, everything will come your way. Things happen. I have found I don't need anything or anybody to make anything happen but God. And when I seek the kingdom, everything happens. It just comes. I don't have to be able to see it with my eyes. I don't have to be able to put my hands on it. I need to perceive the reality that it is there. The angels do that through you. They perceive the reality of things they cannot know about God through you. That's why the word says they watch to see what you would do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit seeks out the deep things of God, the only one that can. And he reveals them to us. When Jesus was exalted, he was raised up. The word says that he was exalted above every name. No angel has ever said, my son, come and sit here by. What does it mean? It means Jesus knew what it was to walk by faith and believe God. He knew what it was to overcome the world. The word said he surrendered to God, and when he did, he overcame the earth. So his body could not stay dead. We say it all the time, sin didn't take Jesus to the cross. Jesus took sin to the cross. Death didn't take Jesus to the grave. Jesus took death to the grave. When the disciple cut off the high priest's ear and said, I'm going to fight this battle, Jesus said, I could have called a legion of angels and they would have done. But for this purpose, I came into the world. I'm surrendering to it. I have the power to resist, but I decide to surrender. I'm obeying the voice of the Father. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing to fulfill the word of the prophet. We need the voice of the prophet in the earth. You have to have it so you know what God is saying. He said, I can't do anything new unless something is revealed. He said, therefore, he gave into the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher for the perfecting, the subduing, the dominion of the earth to bring us into the unity of the faith. There will be a marriage someday between heaven and earth when earth is in unity with heaven. You can stand before a priest or a preacher and you can say vows and vow to be married to one another, but true marriage is a union created by God, not by man. And the only marriages that succeed are those that come into unity with Christ, that come into the unity of faith, or all you do is struggle and contend, and you finally come to a compromise where you just tolerate one another. I adore my wife. I think she's the most incredible woman on the planet, the most incredible mother, and the most incredible wife. And I'm not saying that because she's sitting here, because it makes me sound good. It's the way I feel. Been married over 40 years, and I think she's as beautiful as the day I met her. Incredible. Why? I found the unity of God. She is beautiful. But without the unity of God, you are blind. Blind means unable to perceive light. I know the truth about her. So I get to enjoy her. She's a blessing to me. One day heaven and earth will have a marriage. It's called the Feast of the Lord or the Last Supper. And that's when we do what we're called to do, and we have to do it. But we won't do it unless we hear it and believe it, not detect it. Oh, that's good. We need, no. Don't need any detectives here. We need perceivers in the house. We need perceivers. I perceive that to be the truth. In other words, it's come into me that that's who I am. And so Jesus said things like, he that is born of God sinneth not, for the seed of God remaineth in him. He cannot. Oh, I know. He didn't say you. He said him. He abide, if I abide in you and my word, if you abide in me and my word abide in you. He said, because you can't bear fruit except you abide in me. And if you do, what you ask will come to pass. It may not look like what you asked for, but it's coming to pass. And if you perceive that God is perfect in all his ways and he will do what he said, you will see it manifest in a form that will bless you greater than what you detected would be the best way for it to come to pass. So what is this evil? Man disbelieving that the earth is in subjection to him. Man surrendering to the earth. Paul said it like this. I urge you, y'all, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be shaped by the world, but shape it. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Transform into a metamorpho, changed by a reborn spirit, by a renewed mind. Jesus came to a leader of the Jews by the name of Nicodemus one time, and Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know you are sent from God. The teacher, you're teaching us something. Sent from God, because no one could do the signs and the wonders that you do except God sent him. Jesus immediately went into truly, truly, or verily, verily, if it's an old King James, I say to you, except you were born again, you cannot perceive the kingdom of God. But everyone that is born of God perceives the kingdom of God. And then Deuteronomy 29:29, Old King James. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. What you don't know belongs to God and God alone. But those things which are revealed belong to you and your seed. The work of the Holy Spirit. I have to reveal the heart of the Father, but I need vessels of faith in a perfect world. And a perfect world is not where everything goes their way. A perfect world is where they have to trust God that it will transform into the way of the Lord. Everything was good in the garden. Tree of knowledge, the serpent, all of it was good. It was all good. God said so. Everything that God had made, he blessed. And he said is very good. And it is meant for my purpose and for my pleasure. Just trust that I'm God and me alone. You're not God. He's not a boss. He's not a ruler. He's not the big boss. He's God Almighty. He's the only Lord. He's the Lord over all lords. He is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright Morning Star, the Everlasting One, the Alpha, the Omega, the Beginning, the End, the First, the Last, the Lord Ever Present, the Lord Always With You, El Shaddai, Elohim, the Most High God, the Lord Who Is With Me, the Lord my strength, the Lord my peace, the Lord my comfort, the Lord my salvation, the Lord my deliverer, the Lord my wisdom, my understanding, my peace. He is the fruit of all that is good. He is good. He is called the Mighty One. Don't detect he's God. You'll embarrass yourself. Acknowledge he is the only God. All power and all authority. There is none but God. Worship him, in other words. Detecting him doesn't make you born again. Perceiving him. And when you do, Deuteronomy 29, 29, perceive you are God Almighty. Something happens to your mind, your consciousness, your heart. The soil of your heart becomes fertile before God. And the word he sows takes root and you become a different person. Your intelligence is a joke in the presence of purpose. You ever been around someone and maybe you say they're really smart, but they're really something else too. That doesn't seem very intelligent. Surrender to God. He made you for his purpose, for his pleasure. So what is we do contend with what? Earth. Take dominion over it. Exercise your faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, my faith. My faith in what? That God has anointed me. He has empowered me. He has created me to walk in rulership in the earth, to demonstrate dominion, love, faith, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, authority, to take control over those places. You know why some of these places fall apart and they start fighting against the Word of God and they won't accept the Word of God? Because they're lukewarm. They're not good enough. They're not strong enough. The earth is a strong place. It's very, very powerful. God said to Cain, he said, the earth will not give you its strength any longer. He said to Adam, he said, Adam, because you've done this, he said, the earth is going to contend against you. It's going to fight you. You're going to plant seed, he told Cain. The seed, the way it used to yield you, he said, it's not going to do it anymore. He said, because your brother's blood cries to me from the earth. You disobeyed me. You murdered. You killed. Didn't say the devil's going to chase you down. He even said, people are going to kill me. God said, no, the earth is after you. You better take dominion. It's not going to yield its strength to you. God said to Adam, he said, because you've done this, he said, you're going to have to contend with the earth by the sweat of your brow. Eat your bread by the sweat of your brow. Eve, where you could have bore children, you're going to have to contend with this earth. You need the blessing of God's favor. And as we surrender and acknowledge this, the earth becomes subdued by you again. Those things that contend in your mind, that rob you of your peace and your joy, they lose influence over you. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And everything bows before the God you serve. That's dominion. That's what we are created for. And Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you're going to rule in the earth. You're going to take dominion. That's what we forgot. We keep jumping, see if we can get high enough to get out of the earth. It's not going to happen until we take dominion in the earth. Some generation is going to have to believe hell is not my battleground. Jesus destroyed that. He overcame it. Satan is not my contender. He's not my opponent. He's not the one I got to fight. Sin is not something I have to overcome. You can't. My victory is over the earth. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We can walk in the peace and the presence and the praise and the glory of God. We can love one another when they're unlovable. You can be kind when you want to punch someone in the nose. And you can walk away saying, was it easy? Well, I don't know if you call it easy, but I did it because I realized my position in the earth. I mean, what is it going to afford me? If I surrender to my emotions, you got $1.50 worth of chemistry that drives the value of all that you are, which far exceeds that. $1.50 worth of chemistry is what drives all those goofy emotions we think make us so brave and tough and strong and amazing. You're deceived. You're weak. You can control everyone else's emotions and you can't control your own. What kind of king are you? But God has made us kings and priests unto our God. We stand in full authority, arrayed in full power. We are anointed of God. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. God created two dimensions. One is called heaven, the perfect world that we want to get to. God said, I gave you a perfect world too. Perfect world that cultivates the thing that pleases me. And what's better than pleasing the Father? What greater honor could you have since the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein? Since everything belongs to God and He is supreme power. And He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. You'll want for nothing. 1,000 could fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have set your affections on me. David, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I really don't care, because you were with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. Only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I say of the Lord, you are my God, my shield, my buckler, my strength. You're ever before me, and my prayer is ever before you. Your thoughts towards me are more than could be numbered. And heaven erupts when they know we understand what they want to see. I can detect God, but can I perceive Him? Do I know the kingdom of heaven is in my grasp? When they said, Jesus, show us the kingdom, He said, the kingdom that is to be manifest will never be seen until it's seen in the earth. That's where the kingdom of God is made known. He said, the kingdom of God, where is it? It's no place but right here. This is where it is. That's why God made this dimension. This dimension was a dimension created for the kingdom of God to be revealed in. It's the only place that's going to happen. Heaven can come down. You'll look at it just like you looked at me, Jesus would say. I walked right past you. You detected me, but you did not perceive me. The kingdom of God is the same. The kingdom of God is within you. Don't detect it. Perceive it. Surrender to it. This is where all the power is. This is where the kingdom of God is manifest. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. I thank God for this perfect world. When the earth was formed, it made a time stamp in heaven. In the day God created the heavens and the day God created the earth, He said, one day you will be married to one another. You have to have faith in who Christ in you is. Christ in you is. Jesus said, the demons believe and know I'm God, but it doesn't change anything. They detect that I'm God. When Jesus walked up to the man that was possessed with legions of demons, He detected he was God. People detected he was God, but they didn't perceive. The light didn't come into them. So they resisted him. Foolish enough to say, let's see if he does a miracle. And if he does a miracle, let's condemn him by the law that he did it on the Sabbath day. What about a miracle are you not perceiving? If he did a miracle, he must be the Son of God, the prophesied one, that you're doing all these laws and rituals to see. Here he is. Perceive him. Today I put before you, nations of the earth, perceive the Lord our God is one. The kingdom of heaven is in you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You believe it? Lift your voice and shout, yeah! God before me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me. Are you ready to pull on heaven today? Can you stand with me? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Anyone in the house or anyone viewing today, and you say, I want to know this Jesus. I want to be that person. I understand according to the word. That's who I'm called and created to be. Pray this with me. Jesus, I believe beyond the natural mind, beyond the ability to be able to explain, I just believe because you created me to believe that you are the Son of the living God. You laid your life down to save me. Save me, I pray. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart you are Jesus Christ. My sins are washed away. You've made me alive in you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and power. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and power. Give me insight and perception to your will and purpose, which you have made me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, we thank you today. And we pull upon the heavens of our God and of his Christ. When they asked Jesus, where is the kingdom? They said, show it to us. He said, it doesn't come with observation. If that were the case, I would have just come down and said, behold, the kingdom of my God. But he said, that's what this place is all about. I've conquered everything else. I need you to conquer the earth. I need you to walk in dominion. I need you to subjugate it. I need you to bring it under rule. I need you to bring it into the perfection I've given you power to. I reborn you. I reordained you. I brought you back into your purpose. I've washed your consciousness from a dead, guilty conscience. That's who you're called to be. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God. Greek says it's in our grasp. And he said, release from the earth those things that are in the heaven. That's how powerful the earth is. The earth is powerful. And requires power from God to live in it in peace and in wisdom. Not because you're wrestling against it, but because you're subduing it by the word of God. Adam's power, his dominion, was God said, I believe, that's what I did, that's who I am. Your faith. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of lords. Not by might, not by your power, not your biceps, triceps, but by my spirit, says the Lord not your intelligence, your learning, your training, your understanding, but by mine, says God. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. I have given you dominion in all the earth. Go therefore, every one of you, being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and preach good news, the gospel. Declare, repent. In other words, turn away from where you're going. Look and perceive the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the greatest season of your lives. If you believe it, shout, yeah! Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of Lords. Say, not by might, nor by my power. If it's not by your power, you can't say you're not strong enough. If it's by his faith, you can't say you don't have enough. If it's not by your intelligence, you can't say you're smart enough. If it's not by your works, you can't say you were bad enough. But it's by his grace, by his Spirit, and by his word, and he is all enough. He's not everything you need. He is all there is. He is the great God of all the nations. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is omnipresent. He is the Lord with us. If you believe it, shout, yeah! Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Give the Lord a shout. Tell the nations what it's about. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the glory of the Lord be poured out in the earth. Let there be a great awakening to righteousness. The Lord's going to anoint, give you perception, not just detection, that God has empowered you to become the networks of the nations, to become the voice of righteousness and truth. God allows you to see darkness so you can see the light. In reality, perceive the light. You can see because light literally goes into the back of your head, into your retina, not in the front of your eye. And light is really the reality of everything. Without it, there isn't anything. Blindness means incapable of perceiving light. When God heals us of our blindness, we were able to perceive light. And he said, now I've made you the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And the kingdom of God is present and at hand. In his light, we see the light and we walk in the light. Can you feel it? 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 Don't just detect it. Don't try to protect it. It will protect you. Don't try to fight it, but delight in it. It is the answer of you to you. It is the word of God's wisdom, the authority of his peace and its power. He is the everlasting one, the Lord God Almighty, and he stands with us this moment, this hour. We give him praise for who he is, and we thank him for who he is in us. He is the Lord ever present, the Lord who leads us, the everlasting Prince of perfect peace. And we worship you, mighty God. The kingdom of heaven is in your grasp, and I'm telling you, something great is going to happen today. Shout to your God. Come on. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of Lords. Not by might,
though by power. Put up your sword, Peter. They that live by the sword will die by the sword. Generations have died by the sword of Peter fighting against evil when it wasn't evil at all. The word said it pleased God to bruise him. It was all articulated, demonstrated, and cooperated by the will of God. Jesus said, no one's taking me, I'm taking you. You're not burying me, I'm burying you. You're not raising me, I'm raising you. You're not crucifying me, I'm crucifying you. We are crucified with him. We are dead with him. We are raised by him, through him, to him. This is the greatest season of your life. You believe it? Shout, yeah! Shout unto God, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God, all your nations. Give the Lord a shout today. Yeah! Blessed be the name of the Lord of hosts. Mighty God. Healer. Deliverer. The one who makes you alive. The one who leads you in the way you should go, and you will. Trust in him. Been fighting the wrong battle far too long, making tribute and singing the wrong song to the one that never deserved it, for he alone is worthy of all the praise, the glory, the adoration, the acknowledgement, and the honor. Let the nations of the earth and the kingdom of our God and of his Christ acknowledge what the angels say. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come, the everlasting one. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house.